Hi, I'm Julian McKenzie, and this is the Album of the Decade podcast. This episode features Green Hypnotic. He's a rapper based in Laval who's worked and grown up alongside two very dope local producers, High Classified and Kate Renata, who've since grown to be stars. And he's really good on his own as well. He has an upcoming project called Bando Midori 3. Green's pick for Album of the Decade is Kush and OJ by Wiz Khalifa. Yeah.
So Green, thank you so much for joining me on the Album of the Decade podcast. I just want to say, this is like the first time I've seen you in like quite some time. Yeah, like we've known each other for like a couple of years now. You've been doing your thing here in the city. By the time you're listening to this, we may be around a time where your latest project, BM3, might be out, or at least on the cusp of being out.
Right.
Let's plug that first, man. Kind of give people an idea about who you're about and just tell us about this project.
Well, first of all, man, young dude from LVL. I started doing music since I was 16, I think. Mm-hmm. And basically, man, I was on this conquest, just figuring the music thing out, man. And I connected with a lot of dope beat makers, you know, the High Classifieds, the Kate Renatas, the Dr. Mads, and people of that caliber. I've been doing this music thing for a while. Dropped a lot of mixtapes, but the mixtape that really, really worked for me was the Bando Midori series.
Mm-hmm.
This one that I'm dropping is going to be the third and the last installment of the series. And what I really wanted to do was, I always try to reinvent myself as an artist. I tried to work with different producers this time too, producers from the States. Only local producers that I have on this tape is going to be J Bendit and High Classified. And I've been working on it for like 4 months now. I'm pretty excited. I don't want to tell too much about this project.
Yeah, you kind of want people to kind of listen for themselves, right?
Exactly. So I'm almost done with the project, but it's going to take me another 2 months, I think.
Could it take you another 2 months?
Yeah. Because I got too many beats, man.
You got a lot of beats.
Yeah.
BM3, though. Be on the lookout for that, of course, when it actually drops. Of course, definitely. It's very possible by the time you listen to this, it may have already dropped.
Exactly.
It's very true.
There's a big chance,
that being said, though. You've come up with, like, High Classified, you mentioned.
Right.
Kate Renata, you mentioned. Right. I mean, I've always thought about this as Montreal, mm-hmm. where there are a bunch of rappers who come up here and they try to do their thing. But mm-hmm. I find when you have the star power of, like, HK and Kate Renata, like, you can't overlook the work of producers here. Mm-hmm. What was it like coming up with those two superstars? Mm-hmm. I see them as superstars anyway. Right. What was it like coming up with those two guys through different things you were doing in the city?
Oh, man. I knew Class since he was like 12, 13-ish. So basically, my high school was next to his house,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm the one who told him to do this music thing. Because I was rapping for a while, me and his big brother, you know, Chibi, shout out to him.
Big shout out to him.
Yeah, for sure. Mayor of Laval, by the way.
Yes!
We're trying to get Chibi as a president, man, for 2021. Hopefully he can be the president, man. So Chibi for president, that's the new thing.
Also, by the time you listen to this, he might already be prime minister.
Exactly.
He would have already gone through a federal election.
Exactly. But yeah, man, I met Class a while ago. I told him to do the music thing. So I showed him the basics of beat making, and I thought he wouldn't really do it. But the morning after I showed him the basics, I caught him, like, try to do the beat-making thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your little brother, like, growing up, basically. So I was always there. I was there when nobody cared about his music. I was there when things started popping off. And I'm still here while he's still making mad moves. And, you know, I was there when he did the Future thing. So, and Keitra is different because Keitra, I met him back in 2012, I think. Mm-hmm. So when Musoni started the Alez thing. But him,
Can you explain Alez really quickly for people who wouldn't know?
Oh, yeah. The Alez thing is basically a collective of different producers and different rappers from different parts of Montreal, basically. So I met Keitra off the Alez thing, you know what I'm saying? And he already had his sound, and he was already popping on the internet. Mm-hmm. I started working with him, and people around my city were, like, surprised that I worked with him. And I was like, but yeah, that's my man's. Like, I never knew he was a superstar already on the internet, right? So him, like, doing music with him, it was dope because it's sort of like the Dr. Dre effect. So everything I used to do, he would give me constructive criticism of the flows and the lyrics, right? And back then I had a heavier accent when I used to rap.
You have an accent?
Yeah, well, that's what the...
That's a kid.
That's what people say.
That's a joke, I guess.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, French is my first language, so you're going to hear it. But back then, it was, like, heavier, like...
Okay.
And he used to tell me all the time, like, yo, you need to watch out on your accent and stuff like that. And I never took it personal because, you know, like I told you, I'm French, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rapping on a Keitra beat, though, is tricky because... His fans are, like, very picky. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the rappers rapping on his beats. They don't want... They just want the beats.
They want the beats.
But I never got, like, so much, like, death threats over a beat.
Wait. You, like, got death threats?
Yeah. No, it was crazy. I don't know if it was... They were really trolling, but it was, like, crazy. Like, yo, we need that beat. We don't care about your... I remember, and I told him, like, okay, you need to release that shit, because... Notifications are popping off like hate right now.
Whoa.
I can't deal with that shit. Yeah, man, it was real. But rapping, like, doing stuff with Keitra, it was great for me because his sound is totally different.
That's
it's not the same as a High Classified, you know. And I was, like, kind of, like, raised with High Classified sound. It. So it's just a different challenge.
So you came up with those two, and yeah. you've been doing it for, like, a good deal of years, more than a decade.
Yeah.
We'll say you were telling exactly. me off air, like, since, like, 06.
And so, shout out to DP, too, because DP is responsible for my sound, too. High Class and DP, then I transitioned with Keitra a little bit. Like, it was, like, on one tape.
Yeah.
Or the Encosnito tape.
So
yeah, sorry to cut you off, by the way.
So when you were... No, it's all good. So when you were doing all that,
yeah.
in terms of influences and artists you were listening to, maybe not so much from, like, the local standpoint, but I guess more mainstream.
Right.
Who were you really rocking with?
On the mainstream scene?
Yeah.
Back in 06 or...
Or I guess, like, a little after that.
After the Alice thing?
So I guess, or like, before. More like 09, 09-ish?
10. Okay, yeah. My four guys were Mac Miller, Wiz Khalifa, Nipsey Hussle,
yeah,
and Currency.
Yeah,
these were my top four guys. And to me, like I told you off air, like 09 was like the golden era of like indie rap.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't know, like the XXL thing, the freshman
list.
It started like in 20, it started in 09.
It's pretty fairly recent.
You know what I'm saying? So that's when I really, like, started getting interested in this new wave of rap. And these were my four guys. I know a lot of people were bumping Cudi. Oh, Wale, too.
Wale was coming up at the same time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Wale, too.
People forget, Wale had a song with Lady Gaga.
Exactly. Early, too.
Very early.
Early, bro. Yeah. Yeah, man. And, yeah, 09 was my shit. Like,
it was really wild.
It was really my... Like, I really got inspired to be the artist that I am now because of that year specifically. Like, that was like...
Which is kind of like on the cusp of the decade...
Right.
That this is the subject of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And obviously in terms of a lot, I'm curious about the pick that you had, which is Kush and OJ.
Exactly.
Which is the Wiz Khalifa project, which I mean, it's technically a mixtape.
Most definitely.
It's a mixtape. So when you hear, if you hear someone be like, oh, well, it's a mixtape, does that count? Like, who cares? Like,
well, you know me, the way I see it is like, it's a mixtape, but 98% of the project is like original songs, though.
That's true.
It's only like one joint that's like an old 70s joint. Like, I think it's a soul joint. It's the Kid Frankie, I think. That's like a...
The Kid Frankie is one of my favorite songs.
Me too, bro.
So, like, why that project?
White Kush and Orange Juice? I feel like at that time, that's like post Kanye, right? That's post 808?
Because 808 was...
08? Is it 08?
That's 08-09.
08-09? So I feel like when Wiz dropped that project, like the whole scene kind of like changed.
Right.
Because the thing with Kush and OJ is like, first of all, the sound was like, it was a reminiscing of old, like old hip hop, but like smooth like hip hop, right? Yeah. So a lot of people like compare like early Wiz to a DJ Quick,
right?
Ish, the way he like articulates his word, like the way he flows too, is like very smooth. And till this day, I feel like nobody can rap like Wiz. Like his flow is kind of like Snoop too. Like Snoop has a unique flow and unique flavor, like right when he raps.
Right.
Same thing for Wiz. And I never really heard somebody like Wiz before. And the thing that I was really like a fan of was his hooks. Like the way he did his hooks was like so creative, and it was simple, but it was very creative. And I feel like personally, it was the first time I heard like someone smoking so much, singing so well. Like I was like, how? No, it's for real. Like I'm like, yo, how can he do hooks like that and he's smoking every day? Like that's crazy to me. And the artwork alone to me is like legendary.
I know he's got like the suit and everything. Right. It looks very dapper down and all.
Exactly.
That.
But he bit the artwork from a what's his name? David something, a soul singer from
the 70s. So he's like, now I wish I knew that detail offhand, but like that's pretty cool. I didn't know they necessarily bit that off of somebody.
Yeah, he chopped his head, like, basically.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
But like,
David
one thing.
Griffin, I think his name
is. Is it David Griffin?
Something like that?
There's an artist that kind of sounds like that.
Soul, he's a soul artist.
Yeah. Now we need to figure this out here.
Not for real, I'm telling you.
Because that's really interesting.
Because I did my research on it back then.
David Ruffin? David Ruffin is the guy. It's an homage to David Ruffin.
That's exactly what
it is. Not Griffin, it's Ruffin. Ruffin. He's a very famous soul singer. But that mixtape was a part of this mixtape kind of renaissance.
Exactly.
He was dropping a whole... This was like pre-Black and Yellow.
Of course.
Obviously was like the first big single that was mainstream and made him big.
Exactly.
But before he did all that, I was in high school when this was going on.
Exactly.
He had all these different tapes that were dropping here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it? What do you remember from that time, like being an artist and kind of listening to Wiz, not just the tape, but like listening to Wiz different tapes from Wiz.
Yo, I remember like in high school, like people were still, even though Kanye like changed the game, like people were still rocking with like gangster rap heavy still. But when he dropped, I was like, it was the first time ever I felt like happy while listening to rap. Because usually when I listen to rap, I feel like, I don't know how to say it, but like my ego gets a little... You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on my, like...
You're feeling yourself.
Yeah, I'm feeling myself. Yourself. But him, it was like, I'm feeling myself, but I feel very happy, good. My day is going to start good, and I'm going to go to high school, and I'm going to crack jokes with everybody.
Yeah.
I never felt that with 50. I just felt like a confident, like, black guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Wiz... And the thing with Wiz, too, is, like, when you listen to Wiz, you don't even know it. He's black like that, like...
Really?
You never
get
realized?
That impression?
Yeah, like
I never thought about that with Wiz.
Yeah, because me, the first time, because I heard his music before seeing his face.
Oh, okay.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. When I bumped like Flight School and things, I knew he was not from like New York. I knew he was like Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah.
And like before Wiz, for real, like Pittsburgh was not the place for rap like that. But there was dope rappers.
Like yeah.
There was dope rappers, but gangster rappers. And you can even ask like people from Pittsburgh, they're gonna tell you like, nah, Wiz changed like the image of Pittsburgh, like the rap scene of Pittsburgh. I felt like happy, and I felt like everything around me was like positive. And it's weird because I'm not a smoker, but I was like, yo, he actually, like, Snoop is Snoop, but Snoop was a gangster, you know what I'm saying? But
that's it.
Wiz is like the cool guy who you kick it with that smokes, You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you smoke a joint with him, even if you don't smoke, because it's like, yo, the dude is so chill. Like, yeah. Let's kick it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he kind of became, like, the new kind of king of, like, stoner rap.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, Snoop, we know him for being that personality who will smoke, but he, as you mentioned, you know, he will do, like, the gin juice thing. He'll be hard.
Right.
Wiz was just like, I'm just at the crib just smoking. I'm just hanging chilling. Out. I'm just doing my thing. He's just very laid back. But exactly. For some reason, like, I remember, like, seeing other people, like, listen to his tape and listen to his music, and everyone just, like, I think about it now. There are a lot of people who were, like, around me trying to rap, and they were trying to, like, kind of be, like, an offshoot of Wiz. Like, they were all about that type of life. They were trying to just kind of, I realize it now, they were really just trying to be Wiz.
That's kind of crazy.
There's one rapper I'm trying to, his name, I think, was literally, like, Smokes Weed Daily. That's literally, was his rap name at the time. He's completely changed it now.
Okay.
But, like, that's literally, like, that's Wiz influence.
So all the stoner rappers, like,
that's literally an influence of Wiz.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because me, when I listen to Wiz, like, I'm not trying to be Wiz. It's like, it's really the energy thing more than anything. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's just a good vibe when you listen to his music. And I don't understand. I feel like a lot of the, Cudi can do it too.
Yeah.
Cudi can do it.
Cudi has that. Because a lot of people say with Kid Cudi, like, he saved my life. You get a lot of people who felt like depressed.
Exactly.
And even suicidal to a point they think, wow, man, this guy really saved my life. Wiz is a little different. It was more just like, man, like, I just want music to kick back to and chill.
Exactly.
He was the king of that.
Yeah, man.
Heading into, like, the last part of the last decade and into the earlier parts of this decade here. Mm-hmm. So with Kush and OJ, I'm just curious, what's your favorite song off that project? If you were on an what's your favorite song off that project,
Man, this album starts so well, man. It's like a good vibe. But I think, like, is it Mesmerized?
Mesmerized, I think, was one of the more, like, signature songs off that.
Yeah, this one is dope. But me, like, Kid Frankie, I was like, no, Kid Frankie, and there's a song with my man's, Caleon.
Oh, Killer Caleon. Spotlight.
Yeah, Spotlight. I used to listen to that shit every morning while going to school, bro.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, yo, my day's going to be the shit. Like, I'm going to be good. Like, Wiz really, like, he kind of, like, changed my life. Like, he made me see a different perspective in life. Like, I'm telling you, like, the rap, man, it was more of me being confident as a guy. But him, when he came in the game, I was like, yo, everything's going to be good. But Currency has that effect on me, too. But it's just different. Like, you know, his voice is just different. So I rock with Currency for other stuff. You know what I'm saying? But Wiz, I don't know, man. The Kid Frankie joint.
The Kid Frankie, I love the sample, which is from this group called Loose Ends.
Loose Ends, baby. Yeah.
Like, that was one of those songs where I was like, this beat sounds so dope. Yeah, so, like, smooth, you gotta look into the sample.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta do that. There's another song on here. We're both looking at the track list now. There's a song called We're Done.
We're Done is crazy.
Which has Demi Lovato on it. And if I'm correct, the sample is from this Disney movie where she basically got her start. Like that was the big thing that kind of blew her up. She was doing this movie called Camp Rock, and the Jonas Brothers were also in this movie. Basically, like, everyone went away to this camp to become, like, a rock star. And one of the, and, like, she sings the, like, she was singing in the movie.
Right.
And, like, I mean, like, I have, like, two younger sisters who, like, you know, they were big into, like, Disney and stuff like that. And, you know, they're watching stuff like the Family Channel and stuff.
Right.
Like, hearing We're Done, where you're like, why is Demi Lovato on this? And this was before we know the Demi Lovato as we know her now, has all these Instagram followers, she's popping, she's doing all these songs with all these different, like, electro artists or whatever. So I'm like, why did Wiz sample this, like, Disney song to be a thing? And I think there's a Lil Wayne version of that song too.
We're Done?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, that was one of those tracks that kind of stood out to me just because it's kind of like, wow, he really went there.
Right. That song, I'm going to keep it real. In the beginning, I used to skip that song all the time.
I'm just kind of like, what is this?
Because the way it's placed on the track list, I'm like, I would have put that in the end more than the beginning.
Yeah.
But hey, Wiz is Wiz. But the other song that I really rock with is the Up joint.
Yeah, Up.
He just like, yo, know, the same thing I was talking to you about. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the way he sings, like, it's another universe. Like, when he raps, it's super cool. But when he sings, it's like he's floating with the joint, like, on the joint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's, to me, like, Wiz is more about, like, a energy guy and, like, the atmosphere of the song. That's what makes you feel good, like, as right. a listener.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? And I felt like in 09, a lot of these guys couldn't do it. A lot of rappers, they wouldn't do it. Personally, I feel like that usually when I listen to R&B music.
Okay.
And he's the first one who made me feel like, okay, like... And he made me feel like... A lot of people be like, yo, Drake mastered the rap singing thing. But I feel like Wiz, it's different. It's just different.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? And I guess he does it... And the reason why I fuck with Wiz, too, is like, he was the only underground rapper at the time
right.
who made me feel like, oh, yo, like, the mainstream gonna fuck with him heavy. Off his hooks, like, alone. I knew it. It's like, this shit is too catchy to be underground. Like, you feel what I'm saying?
So that answers my next question, which is, when you were listening to Kush and OJ,
right.
did you feel that Wiz... That there was mainstream appeal to come for Wiz.
Oh, yeah. I knew, like the Black and Yellow joint?
Yeah.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming because the hook, everything Wiz dropped, the hook was incredible. I was like, yo, like, how does he do it? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because usually rappers, like, they do dope, like, hooks, but it's rappity rap hooks, right?
Yeah. Or you get someone else to do it.
Right. Like, and I feel like Kanye is like the GOAT for this shit. Like he, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's another conversation though. But Absolutely. Wiz did his own hooks. And the craziest thing about Wiz is he said like his inspiration, he took his inspiration off Max B.
Mm.
And when you listen to Max B, it's actually the same type of feel, well, with a gangster twist.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? But it's the same thing. He sing his hooks. It's just he talk about guns and drugs and women. And Wiz, he talking about like his weed.
Yeah.
And women. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's basically the same technique, but he has a different voice though. His tone is like, I feel like his tone makes him sound like the mainstream guy that you can't stop listening to. Like, his tone of voice, like...
But even if you felt that he was going to have that mainstream appeal, right. like, we're in 2019 now.
Mm-hmm.
This album came out... This project came out almost, like, a whole last decade ago.
Facts.
And we're talking about a guy... Not only did he do his albums...
Right.
But we're talking about a guy who's put out these super successful singles. Like, See You Again, that song from the Fast and the Furious movie, right?
Trillions of plays.
Did you think that, like, he would get to a point where, like, he... Literally, like, if you put him on a song, you have license to print money if you were a label.
Yeah, I knew it, bro. He just had it figured out. Because when you think about it, like, let's put the music aside, right?
Right.
Let's put, like, his promo game, like, his day-to-day thing. He was the first one who really did that, when you think about it. Everybody now that has a vlog, it's based off Wiz.
That's true. He had a lot of songs where, like, you have, like, the little vlog kind of insert here and there.
Yeah. Wow. He mastered that shit since way back. That was pre-Cushion Orange Juice. So you're telling me, like, right now I can have, like, my first kid and I can hop on YouTube right now and watch Wiz Success from the get-go. Nobody did that back then. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I'm like, if he was ahead of his time like that, he was already unstoppable from then. So you hear Black and Yellow, you're like, okay, cool. Then he did the Hard Work, Play Hard.
Yeah.
We Them Boys. Like,
We Them Boys is still one of my favorite. Like, even if it's very simplistic. But it's catchy. Like, I love that song.
That's why I fuck with Wiz. Because he's simple with it. And he always works. It always hits, bro. I'm like, he was doing this since the underground shit.
Yeah.
So I was like, basically, the Black and Yellow was coming. Like, he was just, like, having fun with it, you know? But the Black and Yellow thing, like, a lot of people were mad. And I was like, why are y'all mad? He been singing on hooks. He been doing that shit. It's not corny. He's actually repping his town. You know what I'm saying? What is corny about Black and Yellow? The fact that the hook is super, like, catchy and singy-songy? Like, nah, bro. Like,
it was very catchy. I remember, like, around the time it dropped, The Pittsburgh Steelers, the NFL team, that year, they made it to the Super Bowl that year, and they ended up turning it into like an actual anthem to get by. Exactly. Not only was the song good, it was perfectly timed.
That's what I'm saying, it's
perfectly timed.
That's what I'm saying. Wiz,
he it was, set the tape. I mean, and that's with Black and Yellow.
That's with Black and Yellow.
But Kush and OJ, among some of the other tapes that had dropped a little before that, it kind of set the table for Wiz as an artist into the 2010s and everything that we were going to see from him from there.
Exactly,
and it also, like a lot of people who were into his music and downloading mixtapes of the time, you could argue he was like the king of mixtapes.
Because,
different artists were putting out mixtapes and they were putting out their different projects kind of, you know, through you could get through DatPiff or HotNewHipHop.com. But like, I'm sure like when you were trying to get a Wiz tape, like the internet was breaking. Do you remember? Do you remember the old days when you were trying to download a mixtape and you're like, I have to wait a whole hour because the site server can't handle it?
I remember. You know, Wiz did that two times back to back. Not back to back. I'm tripping.
Wouldn't have surprised me if it would have been back to back. Because literally, he would drop a tape.
Cabin Fever was right
after. Cabin Fever,
you know what I'm saying? But he, I think he did that with the Kush and OJ.
Mm-hmm.
He crashed the DatPiff. Heavy. And he crashed that piff.
Yeah.
He was trending on Google. I remember that shit.
Nobody
was doing that back then,
was
bro.
Trending.
On the internet.
We didn't know what trending was in 2010.
It was trending on Google and Twitter at the same time, like back to back, bro. And I think it was number six on Twitter.
That's crazy. That's
number
crazy.
Because no rapper was doing that. I'm telling you for a fact.
Yeah.
Maybe Kanye could have done it back then, but him, he was number six, but his fan base was so crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And went number one. So basically, as soon as you write Wiz Khalifa, Cushion Orange Juice will pop off on Google. The same shit on Twitter. And he posted the link on Twitter only. People went that, they crashed the DatPiff shit, bro. And he did it again with Taylor Allerdice too after that.
Taylor Allerdice, by the way, personal favorite Wiz Khalifa mixtape.
Top five, easy.
I love that tape.
Easy.
There's so many great tracks on it.
Yeah.
We didn't even go through all the tracks off of Kush and OJ, and also some of the different artists. Like Big Crit was also on
that. That's my boy.
Big Crit.
I love him, man.
There's another guy who like has been around with Wiz for quite some time, and they've done stuff together, and I'm like, and now he's like criminally underrated as a rapper.
Underrated, but I mean, as an independent artist, because he's independent, he's not with Def Jam anymore.
Exactly.
He's still winning.
That's it.
Still winning, still making money, still doing shows, you know what I'm saying?
Wiz, also another artist we have to kind of mention, if you're going to mention Pittsburgh artists, he also came up with Mac Miller.
Oh, man, rest in peace, Mac, man. That's my
guy. Well, I still can't believe we don't have with us now. And you were saying that like you were more into mixtape Mac Miller versus his albums. That being said, like, I think while Mac had a slow start, his albums before he passed, the last few were really picking up.
Oh, yeah, The Swimming Joint?
The Swimming Joint was amazing.
Probably one of his best projects, easy to. If we talk about albums only, best albums, I think Mac got two classics mixtapes, The Kids and the, what's the other one?
I love Mactastic. I don't know if that's the other one you're thinking. It might not be that one.
No, I think, I think he got three. Yeah, because he got the kids, he popped off with Kids.
Yeah.
Then he had the Best Day Ever shit.
Yeah.
And then he had the Macadelic, bro.
Sorry, not that Mactastic. I think Macadelic, excuse me. Macadelic. I might have gotten the name wrong, but that's the one with like
Fight
the
Feeling. And it's crazy because when you see Mac's career and Wiz's career, it's not the same, but the process is similar.
Very similar. And they came up from the same area.
Exactly.
So their careers are more or less intertwined.
Yeah, because you know, Kids, like, when you bump it now, you would say like, okay, Mac was like the white rapper with the corny lines and shit. But then he evolved, like he kind of evolved with the Best Day Ever. But I feel like Macadelic and Cabin Fever is similar.
Yeah.
Because it's more trap-ish.
Yeah.
But you know, Kids and like Kush and OJ, it's not the same vibe, but it's very like the lyrical, smooth type joints. But I guess Mac, it was more boom bap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I feel it's a similar, because it blew up kind of like at the same time, but Mac was like younger.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like Mac evolved as a dope ass artist too. But I feel like people kind of like slept on him after the Kids mixtape and all his first three. I feel like people kind of like slowed down and Wiz went on a run, like on a long ass run. Because he kept having hits. Mac had hits too, but I feel like Matt had to find himself as an artist too.
That's it. It took him a lot longer to do that versus Wiz.
Exactly.
The one thing I'll end on here with Wiz here with this.
Yes, sir.
And I'll ask you this.
Yeah.
Like, his tapes, you can go through them, you can play them all over, and we all know Wiz had hits in the 2010s.
Sure.
But I think we can both agree his albums weren't nearly as great cohesively, entirely, versus what his tapes brought to the table. I mean, I feel that way. I feel you feel that way, too, unless you think differently.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, assume. That's fair.
Well, I could say that the Rolling Papers, the first one, is... Yeah, I was expecting more. I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think you're the only one.
No, I think a lot of people felt that way.
Yeah, his own fans told him, like, oh, shit, like, straight after Cabin Fever, that's what you give us?
So just curious, like, why do you think, like, it was so hard for him to find a really good album while it was so much easier for his mixtapes to pop up?
Well, I don't think his albums are trash or anything. I feel like he's dope, but I feel like... When the label gets behind certain artists, sometimes they don't have the same freedom as doing mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it's a label thing.
Okay.
Because I feel like if he was 100% like Rostrum Records, we would have like 2, 3, 4 more Cushion Angels. I feel like maybe not the same sound, but I feel like it would be. Because sometimes he drops freestyles.
Yeah.
And it's reminiscing of like Cushion OJ. And I'm like, damn. Like,
this is the Wiz we want. Wiz we want.
Yeah, and people say it all the time. Like, he's a dope-ass performer. When he performs the Cushion Orange Juice shit and his Cabin Fever shit, everybody's happy. But, like, they want that feel. I don't know if we're stuck in that Wiz bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's us. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I know for a fact that his albums doesn't sound like his mixtapes. And right. I feel like it's a label thing. Know what I'm saying? But or maybe he's trying to like reinvent himself right. all the time and try new things. I mean, everything he tries that's new is actually working. You know what I'm saying? Even if we love it or we don't, it's working. Because the See You Again joint is like, it worked.
This is extremely successful. A lot of streams, a lot of play. I'm sure they made them both a lot of money. Yeah. Here's a last question I will ask
you. Yes, sir.
When is the perfect time to play Cushion OJ?
Like I told you, I don't smoke, so I know the smokers, it's all the time, they listen to that joint all the time, but the best, I feel it in the morning, when you want to start your day right, you got your breakfast, everything, you know what I'm saying, you brushing your teeth, put a little Cushion Orange Juice, you good. That's me, that's just me. I listen to it in the morning.
Do you actually like orange juice?
Of course.
I love orange juice.
Yeah, I'm more apple
I don't smoke
juice,
either.
Though. I'm more apple juice than orange juice, but I like both, like, you know what I'm saying?
So your equivalent would be like what?
Equivalent of orange juice?
No, not like, so it'd be like we have Cushion orange juice.
Yeah.
You'd be like what in apple juice?
That's a great question.
Well, no, just thinking, like, if you like apple juice, like what's, if you don't smoke, like what would be the similar, like,
yo, that's a great
I don't know if you don't vape.
Nah.
So, like, find, like, a vice that, like, you think is, like, crate, like, you can't, like...
An apple juice, right? Something
and like apple juice is up.
Probably, peanut butter jelly.
Good enough. PBJ and apple juice.
PBJ and apple juice, yeah.
PBJ and apple juice.
That's for sure.
All right.
That's actually a great question.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yo, I'm telling you, bro.
I'm kind of craving that. Right now. Green Hypnotic, man.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much, hey, for, much for love, joining man. Me to do this.
Yes, sir. I got you.
Cushion OJ is your project.
Yes, sir.
You know, pretty damn good one at that.
Thanks, man.
Man, thank you so much for doing this. Hey, and where can everyone check out Bando Midori?
Yes, sir.
Once it comes out, if it's not out already.
Yes, sir, man. I mean, check me out, man. I'm on pretty much everywhere on Instagram at Bando Midori. BandoMidori. Everywhere.
There we go. All right. Thank you so much for joining me again. Thank you so much for listening to this particular episode of the Album of the Decade podcast.
Peace.
Special thanks to everyone who's taken part of the Album of the Decade podcast, and special thanks to you for listening to this entire episode all the way through. You made it all the way to the end. This show is produced and edited by Tom Zalatni as part of the Upford Network. You can find out all about the great shows on the network at upfordnetwork.com.
You ever wonder if picking your own name for Secret Santa and then buying yourself a gift makes you a sociopath? Or if everything is everything, then how much of everything is there? Or what exactly a moguana is? Well, that one's just a way of saying more iguana. Or maybe you wonder what the death of a friendship over the course of 50 episodes sounds like. Whatever your questions, you can find the answers and also more questions on Lasers on the Ride podcast, now a member of the Upford Network, available wherever you usually get your podcasts.
If you're someone who interacts with kids, you're probably familiar with moments of being asked questions you're just not equipped to answer. Whether it's the old favorite, where do babies come from, or the nuances of discrimination, Rad Child Podcast has your back. Each episode, your host, Seth Day, leads a discussion about topics like race, disability, loss, gender, sexuality, and so much more. Our goal is to give grown-ups the tools to talk to kids about almost anything. So come give a listen. Rad Child Podcast. Helping to raise a generation of open, compassionate, rad kids. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and just about anywhere else.